If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to read from the book of Esther, chapter 3. As was mentioned, we have a shorter time today in morning worship, and that's because there are those that are leaving, and there are those that are coming. And that changeover is, this is a big day for camp. You'll see new faces, and you'll get to dinner tonight, and you'll say, where did they go? Where did she go? She's on her way home. He's on their way back home. And that's always not a nice time because we like people to stay. But we want to make room for others. And so when you go, someone will fill in the ranks and there'll be other faces and people to get to know and worship together with. Today, there will be another DVD in the room at 3:45 this afternoon. And I want to mention it because I encourage you to come. If you haven't seen this, that's one thing. If you have seen it, I invite you to come back again. Anybody ever hear a whale sing? Some of you have. Whales can sing. Have you ever heard a whale sing, "How great is our God"? A whale sings, "Great is our God." This isn't Ripley's Believe It or Not. This is true. This DVD will prove it. Have you ever heard a star sing? You've never heard stars sing? They do sing. They do sing. All creation does. We'll get to that. You'll get to it later on. But if you want to hear a mix, and you want to hear a star sing with beluga whales, "How Great is Our God," along with Chris Tomlin, then you could come this afternoon at 3:45. And you'll not only hear that happen, but you'll hear a wonderful story surrounding it. And so I invite you to. Now, that's the best I could do to try to draw you in. If you're at all intrigued or enticed, something, this is called Symphony, "I Will Lift My Hands." And what it goes on to say is, look, if a beluga whale can praise the Lord, and if the stars can sing praises to God, so can I. And so can you. And as Lou Giglio will say, I will lift my hands. And how God delivered him from a tremendous, difficult place in his life because he lifted his hands and began to praise the Lord. Well, maybe you'll join in with Chris Tomlin and the beluga whales and the stars, and maybe you'll find yourself, like I will, probably sitting in there singing, "How Great is Our God," and by the time it's over, tears will be coming down my cheeks, even though I've seen this about 40 times, maybe. I can't see it enough. So, if you'd like to, 3:45 this afternoon. And not just the old people. I don't know what the staff is doing at that time, but you will enjoy it if you'd like to come. We started looking at the book of Esther yesterday, and we're looking at it as an allegory. I understand yesterday afternoon some of you were studying the book of Esther. It made me go back to my room to study it more because I don't want to find out that you know more than I do about Esther, but you probably do anyway. And we're looking at it as an allegory. And yesterday we had said that we were thinking that Ahasuerus, Xerxes, the king of that large area, 127 provinces, Ahasuerus is the human soul, the soul. Now, we're not going to go back over this. Take my word for it. We can do this. But human soul, the rest of the provinces where he has jurisdiction over, and what he says is then lived out in those provinces, is your body, the human body. And then we notice that at the beginning of the story, or in chapter 3, the beginning of chapter 3, there's a man named Haman who's influencing the soul of the king, Ahasuerus. And that influence of Haman, the Agagite, the Amalekite, the descendant, and to get this straight, if you hadn't gotten it straight, Esau's grandson was Amalek. Grandson. So that's where you get that all from, the Edomites and from Esau. And I said yesterday, Amalek is a descendant of Esau. That's how that happens. And Agag and what are called the Agagites come into being. Agag was a man, a king, and he was an Amalekite. But because he was a king, those that were in his realm and kingdom, some of them were referred to then as Agagites. And so you have Agag or the Amalekites or the descendants of Edom. And when you read of that through Scripture, it's one of those expositional constants I was talking about. That's a type of the flesh. not the physical body flesh, but the flesh that wars against the spirit. And that flesh, Haman, had access to the king, to the soul of man, by nature, by birth. It's just the way it was at the beginning of the story. I don't know how he came into power, but that's just the way it was. That's just the way it is. And on the outside was this man named Mordecai. Mordecai, we had said, we're going to use him to represent the Holy Spirit. He's on the outside, and he has no access to the soul of man. He's out there somewhere in left field. He, however, we read yesterday, does not bow down to Haman. Everybody else does. Everybody bows down to Haman, who is in the palace, influencing the soul of man, Ahasuerus. But whenever he crosses paths with Mordecai, Mordecai doesn't bow the knee. The spirit will never bow the knee to the flesh. The spirit and the flesh are antagonistic one to the other. There's that big battle that Romans talks about, the war that goes on between the flesh and the spirit. They are contrary. Now, yesterday when I was wanting to read through this expositional constant about Haman, I had the wrong chapter. It's chapter 3, and I'm not going to read the verses, but some of you are interested so that you may know that 3:10, 3:13, 8:1, 9, 6 through 10, and 24. Did you get that? That's all in the book of Esther. And all those verses will state or say, Haman, the enemy of the Jews. Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And it's always that way. Haman is the enemy of the Jews. He hates the Jews. He hates the people of God. He's bent on destroying the people of God. And if he can influence Ahasuerus to throughout the kingdom issue some kind of edicts to bring down or destroy God's people, that's what he's all about. That's what he seems to be living for in the book of Esther. And so that's where we're kind of up to. And if you, again, have your Bibles, look at verse 3 of chapter 3. I just mentioned this, but let me pick up the story there. The officials, royal officials at the king's gate, asked Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" Day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. That is, to bow down and to pay honor and homage to Haman. Therefore they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Well, okay, put that again into your life, our vernacular, the allegory. Haman is enraged with Mordecai. Well, that makes sense. I understand that. Now, wait a minute. If, and we're getting ahead of ourselves as far as our storyline, but if Mordecai dwells in you, if Mordecai, the Spirit of God, lives in you, either by virtue of the new birth or by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, I'll give you three guesses who's enraged with you. Anybody got one?
The devil.
Yeah. The enemy. And what's his name in our story? Haman is enraged. Okay. Now, in verse 6, you read that, having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes, or of that territory. I don't just want him. I want the whole bunch of them. I don't just dislike him. I just like all of those people. Now, who is a Jew? Let's look at or think of the Apostle Paul's definition. Who is a Jew? Their last name has to be Schnickelfritz or Klein or whatever. No. Your name can be Waldfogel and you can be a Jew. Your name can be you, and you can be a Jew. Yeah, that works. One of my friends at church, he's a physical therapist, he said, hey, you know, I got a patient. I'm going to see him tomorrow. His last name is Jew. And then he said to me, I wonder if he's a Jew. I don't know. I still don't know. You know, so what is a Jew? What does the Apostle Paul say? A Jew is one...
Inwardly.
The circumcision of the heart. I believe Brother Peter said the boys talked about that from the book of Joshua. They had that as their lesson yesterday. The circumcision of the heart. A Jew isn't one outwardly, Paul writes. He says, no, that's not it. It's not where you were born or if you're a Hebrew of the year. A Jew is one inwardly who has been circumcised in the heart. Now, that's not in the story of Mordecai. A Jew was a Jew was a Jew in Mordecai's day. But in our allegory, in our story, a Jew is one who we would call a Christian, a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. And Mordecai, or I'm sorry, Haman is livid against, enraged, wants to destroy all of those kinds of people. It goes on in verse 7, in the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, they cast the poor, that is the lot, in the presence of Haman, to select a day and a month, and the lot fell on the 12th month, the month of Kedar. Then Haman said to King Xerxes, there's a certain people. Now, understand this. This guy is slippery. You know what I mean by slippery? You got to hate this guy. It's typical Haman. We could go all through the Bible. The enemy of our souls is, what is Paul? He's wily, subtle. Deceitful. You remember how he started out in the garden there slithering around as a serpent and deceiving? That's the way he goes. That's the way he does things. Haman, with access to Ahasuerus, who has jurisdiction over the whole domain, he goes in sliding into the presence of the king and says, you know, there's a people dispersed and scattered among the peoples in the provinces of your kingdom. Their customs are different than those of all other people. They don't obey the king's laws. Their customs are different. You know where they got their customs from? Any guesses? Whose law did they follow? Whose?
The Lord.
The Lord. They follow the word of God. They're different. They don't do what we do. They don't live like we live. They just don't do what you say to do. They have a different custom. They follow a different teaching. They follow something that they call the word of the Lord, the word of God. They're not listening to what you say. You could issue edicts. They don't follow. They're different than we are. We say this. They do that. It doesn't make sense, O king. And so it is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. We need to get rid of these people. These Christian people need to be put to death, or at the very least, they need to be marginalized. We got to get rid of their influence. So poor Ahasuerus, the poor soul of man, he's totally in the dark. He doesn't have a clue as to what's right or what's wrong, because you need Mordecai to be able to open the eyes of your understanding. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this world blinds the minds, blinds the hearts. So Haman likes to influence Ahasuerus and just to march down the merry path. Well, these people are bad. I guess they really are bad. They're no good for us. They're different than we are. And so I think we can't tolerate them anymore. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them all. And I'll give you 10,000 talents of silver in the royal treasury for the men who carry out this business. What a plan and a plot. Where does that all come from? Hey, by the way, you remember King Herod when Jesus was being born? When he was just a little babe? Remember the Herod that was on the throne? Remember the wise men came around because they wanted to see where this Christ child was? And you remember when Herod got wind of this? He said, tell me where he is that I may come and worship him. You remember that whole story? Mm-hmm. And you remember what he did? You remember what he wanted to do to Jesus? Anybody tell me?
Kill him.
Kill him. By the way, you do know that Herod was an Edomite. Mm-hmm. From that same group all the way down. It just never ends. It just never ends. These Amalekites, these Agagites, these Edomites are just bent on destroying the people of God, destroying the work of God, destroying the kingdom of God. I cannot tolerate another king. Now, there was an influence over Herod that caused him to do that. Herod didn't have a bright idea one day. There was someone that was influencing the soul of Herod to make the decisions that he made. And I don't know how many babies were killed in Judah. Of course, Jesus was escaped and gone down into Egypt another way. That's Haman. That's his hatred against the people of God. And that's what we're involved in today in our society. We have a book that Tim last night said he kisses. I don't think he kissed. I don't think he makes it a grand habit of kissing his Bible. I don't know. But I know people that do. I know of people that have never held a Bible in their hands, and the first time they got the Bible in their hands, this is God's Word. This is the Word of God. This is the Bible. There are people in China, many of you could bear this out, but I've heard this from Alice and Jason's church there, that they don't have whole copies, or didn't. Maybe now they do, but didn't. There were some times where they would just circulate pages. A page. That's all they knew about the Word of God. Was this, hope they got the right page. Imagine if they got Leviticus 12. Oh, poor guys. I hope they got John 3 at least, or something like that. But they would, this is God's Word. Precious, precious, precious. And because of God's Word, because of God's Word, not because of the rules of Pilgrim Camp, not because my church says, but because of this book, we don't follow the customs of this world. We don't do what they say do. We don't jump when they say jump. And because of it, we have one that would like to destroy us. You know how there's been an attack on the Word of God in our generation? In my older years, when I was back in school, I remember when Mr. Kleinberg, he was a Jew, not one in the heart, I don't think, but one after the flesh. But I remember when Mr. Kleinberg would read in PS 108, Public School 108, New York City, in assembly, with a whole student body sitting there, he would open up the Bible of all books, and he would read a psalm to us from the Bible, and then we would have a moment of silent prayer. We don't do that anymore in public schools. As a matter of fact, I dare you to bring your Bible to public schools. Oh, maybe it's allowed, but I wonder how many of the teachers in the public schools would take that very kindly. You read that book, bring it to college. Identify yourself as a child of God. See, the devil hates the Spirit of God. Haman hates Mordecai. But also because of Mordecai, and the Spirit of God is the Word of God, and the Word of God is in the Spirit of God, and it's all kind of connected. And because of that, by definition, the enemy hates the Word of God. The enemy hates this book. He'll do anything he can to cause you to say, I can't understand it. I don't understand it. I don't read it because I don't understand it. Well, you don't understand it because maybe you haven't said, Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me. You're never going to understand it. You can read it till you're, who likes to say, somebody here likes to say blue in the face. Shelly. Shelly's blue in the face. You can read it till you're blue in the face, and it'll become, I don't understand it. There's a veil that remains. The God of this world will see to it that the veil remains. But when you say, Lord, teach me your word, help me to understand, the Holy Spirit, Mordecai, will take the word of God and illumine the eyes of your understanding. Amen. And you'll begin to go like this to this book. Instead of, oh, here's the shelf, I'll see you next Sunday on my way out the door. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And there's a battle, and there's a tremendous battle in our society, but even among the people of God, a literacy of this book, it's terrible. It's terrible. You ask kids that have been in Sunday school all their lives, and you ask them a simple question from the Bible. And I'm not talking about, you know, a home run question in Bible baseball, but something very, very juvenile, something very basic. And they look at you like, oh, ask them the latest Beyonce song. Oh, which one do you want me to name him? Well, what happened? Where did we get off the bus? Where did we start to allow the influence of Haman to affect our decisions and our behavior? Except the word of God get into our hearts. That's what's going to happen to not only me and you and us, but the next generation. And there's an enemy that fights wars against the things of God. I don't want to go on and on and on because I want to move on to the next part of the story before we go this morning. But consider it, dear brothers and sisters. Memorize scripture. No, don't say I'm too old. Oh, Sister Hofflander, you can say anything you want. When you get to be a certain age, you can do anything you want, you can say anything you want, and we just chalk it up to it's okay, whatever. But when you're 80, don't give me this, I can't learn the Bible. You can learn the Bible. You don't want to learn the Bible. It's not that important anymore. When you're as young as you are, oh, I got to learn. I got chemistry to learn. You do learn it, please, Ingram. Learn chemistry, and or because if I need a forensic scientist someday or a chemist, I want a good one that's learned chemistry. But in all your learning, and you with kids down there or wherever they are, yeah, get a good education. It may take you a long way in this world. But an education of the scriptures will take you a longer way in life, in godliness, and into the kingdom of God. Amen. This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. This is God's book, Sister Robinson said. This is God's word. There's nothing like it. Treasure it. Maybe before when nobody's watching. Maybe before you go to bed tonight, you need to thank you for your word. I love your word. Well, read another verse with me and then we'll close. So here's the plot. Let's destroy them all. We can't tolerate them. And so in verse 10, chapter 3, so the king, Ahasuerus, took his signet ring from his finger and gave it to Haman. The only thing I could think of to say there is Oves Mir. What does that mean? It means, ay, ay, ay. It means, oh, no. This goes from bad to worse. Haman is influencing Ahasuerus, and I would interpret this as saying Ahasuerus just sold out. He just kind of abdicated the throne. He just said, your word is my word, and my word is your word. And there are people sold under sin, enslaved, bound. Everything that they do, everything out of their mouth, everything out of their mind, everything out of their heart is influenced by Haman. And they're bound by sin. And a lot, unfortunately, of those people, some people idolize. And we should never idolize them. We should pity them and pray for them. I have a friend of mine from church. And when he got word or when the news was spread that Prince, I don't know, I mean, last thing I knew, Prince was the dog here at camp. I didn't know who Prince was. I mean, I knew who Prince was. And when I heard that guy, Prince, died or overdosed, it wasn't much of a shock that's what happened to him. But I got a text from my friend and he said, I pity that man. I feel sorry for that man. Or feel sorry for him. If I could wiggle like he could wiggle, if I could sing like he could sing, if I could have the assets that he had, if I could have the fame and popularity, I pity that man. Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. But there are those, and I'm not necessarily saying Prince, although maybe he fits the category. There are those that just give the signet ring to Haman. And so Haman, more than happy to take it, the son of Hamathai, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. Why does he got to say all that all the time? Because that's exactly what he was. Don't ever forget it. Keep the money, the king said to Haman, and do with the people as you please. Then on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned, and they wrote out in the script of each province and in the language of each people in Haman's orders to the king's satraps, governors. Everybody, trickle-down effect, from Ahasuerus to the whole kingdom, we're going to get out this word. This is what was written, sealed with the king's ring. Dispatches were sent by the couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, to kill, to annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality so they would be ready for that day. Spurred on by the king's command, the couriers went out, and the edict was issued in the citadel of Susa. The king and Haman sat down to drink. And the whole city of Susa was bewildered. That word bewildered, by the way, I looked it up in the dictionary in my room. It says, to cause to lose one's bearings. To be perplexed. The whole city, the whole body, that whole kingdom. Haman, he's yucking it up with Ahasuerus, who's completely in the dark. We'll find that out next time. Completely in the dark as to what's going on. He's got the wool pulled over his eyes. He's just acting. He's a dupe. He's just a pawn and a tool in the hands of the enemy. So are a lot of people, but not us. Oh, the mercy of God. What a theme for my song. Oh, thank God he's taken me out of that kingdom of darkness. And he's brought me into the kingdom of his dear son. It's a kingdom of light. It's a kingdom of righteousness. Where God's word becomes precious to me. And I want to live in it. And I want to walk in it. And I want to obey it. And I don't want to be influenced. I don't want my soul to be influenced by the world and the flesh and the enemy and the suggestions and the subtleties. No, Lord, I thank you for your word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. So, Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that you will help us all to love the Bible, to love the word of God. There are a people, thank God, there still are a people that don't follow the customs. They have their own customs. They don't walk according to the course of the world. They've been transformed by the renewing of their mind. Some influence other than Haman has gotten there. Mordecai has found his way in. Haman has found his way out. Not only out, he's hanging on the gallows. Lord, we haven't gotten there in our story, but I pray that we've gotten there in our lives. And Jesus, today we thank you that you are precious to us, that your word is a precious book. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that we might walk in the light of your word throughout this day. And we pray, Lord Jesus, dear Lord, that we wouldn't find ourselves blinded, darkened. Give us a concern. Give us a pity. Lord, a compassion for people who don't know better, who are just led around by the nose, as it were. They don't know why they're doing what they're doing. And they're perplexed and bewildered, and it's so confusing to many. But Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have opened our understanding. And it only is because of your spirit and because of your word. And we love you for it today. Lord, let us go deeper into your word, more of Jesus in his word. Oh Lord, open up scripture to our understanding by your spirit. Teach us, teach us, teach us, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, bless those who will be going home today. Cover them with the blood of Jesus as they travel. Amen. We thank you for each one of them, Lord. We pray, Father, that your hand will be upon them and accompanying them as they travel back to their destinations. Amen. There are those that are on their way to camp right now, Lord. We pray that you'll watch over them. Amen. That you'll cover them with your precious blood. And dear Lord, that throughout this day, we'll be careful to walk before you and live in your presence. Lives of worship. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed. If you want to sing with the whale, don't forget, 3:45.